Amen. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Verse 13. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. The prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another, that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. You won't find that time frame in the Old Testament. I looked for it, and I couldn't find it. I had to go to the New Testament revelation to find how long the rain stayed. Amen. And they didn't even have any dew for 3 years and 6 months. Now, even if it don't rain, you know, the dew falls every night and gives everything a drink. Amen. But they didn't even have any dew. That close to Mount Hermon, they didn't have no dew for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Now, listen to this, brethren. How many know who brethren are? You think brethren are generally spoken of in the Bible as saved people? Huh? You think he's calling brethren? That they're really brethren? Amen. He said, brethren, if any of you do err from the truth. Ooh, look out now. Just plain as the nose on your face. Amen. And one convert him. What do you have to do when one of the brethren errs from the truth? Huh? You got to convert him. Somebody needs to convert him. Huh? That's what Jesus told Peter, said, when thou art converted. He hadn't even backslid yet. Said, when thou art converted, strengthen the brethren. Amen. Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, and one convert him, and let him know that he which converteth the sinner. Amen. That's what a Christian is when he backslides. He's a sinner. And he has to be converted. Huh? I mean, you can't be no clearer. I was reading J. Vern McGee on it today, and he said, I think this means the sinner. Not talking about a believer. What is brethren if he's not talking about a believer? Amen. Hey, you can't get any clearer, really. You got to really be blind in one eye and can't see out of the other. And the Bible has a term it calls willful ignorance. Not to be able to see that he's talking about brethren who backslide. Amen. Let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way, and that's what a brother is when he starts sinning. He's a sinner, shall save a soul from death, and that's what happens when you backslide and lose out with God. There's no such thing as eternal, unconditional security. There's no such animal taught in the Word of God, and hundreds of scriptures disprove that erroneous false doctrine that is held by the modern Calvinists today. Amen. So save a soul from death and hide a multitude of sins. Hallelujah. I read all that for a reason. Let's turn to 2 Peter and let's read in the last chapter of 2 Peter, chapter 3. He said, "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with a fervent heat." Amen. "And the earth also and the works therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto?" That's the right attitude about the coming of the Lord. Looking for it and hasting unto it, running to it, anxious for the coming of the Lord. Amen. Not going to ask for a show of hands tonight. "Looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with a fervent heat." Amen. Emphasis on that word fervent 2 times. He uses that word fervent. He said that fervent heat is going to burn this world up. Now let's go back. Amen. He said the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. I want to talk about for a little while tonight on burning mountains. Come on. Praise God. You got any rivers you think are uncrossable? Got any mountains you can't tunnel through? God specializes in things that are impossible. What he'd do for others, he'll do for you. Praise God. He gives Elijah as a example. He was a man subject to like passion. Now you can't be much clearer than that. He was just like we are. I mean, he put his coat on one arm at a time, just like you do. Amen. Fellow said, told me yesterday, "I bet you can't put your left shoe on first." And I said, "How's that?" And he said, "You'll always have one left." And amen. Didn't quite soak in on me neither. Hallelujah. He put his shoes on just like we do. One at a time. Not very many of us haul off and take a run, jump into both of them at once, do we? Amen. Austin might try it, but he probably won't do too good at it. Amen. Amen. He was a man subject to like passions, just like we are, and he prayed and stopped the rain up. I mean, he turned the faucet off in heaven. Hallelujah. Tom Dooley wrote a chapter in one of his books. Tom Dooley is a medical missionary. He was in the Navy before the Vietnam War, and then after, he was in the Navy in the Indochina War, and then he went back before the Vietnam War ministered to the poor in that country. And he wrote a chapter in there, "The Night They Burned the Mountain." Well, amen. I'm going to try to burn some mountains tonight. Tell you how to do it. Praise God. You know, the Bible said the elements shall melt with a fervent heat. Praise God. Woo, glory to God. Amen. I mean, they've got Peter in jail. He's in jail, and not only is he in jail, he's in the back end of it, brother. And he's got 4 quarternions of soldiers that's guarding him, praise God, and the saints went to prayer. Amen. I mean, brother, they continued in prayer. I mean, they turned the heat up, if you please, praise God. And you know what? They turned so much heat up in that prayer meeting, praise God. They burnt the locks off that jail, amen, and equipped the last door, praise God, with an automatic opener, hallelujah. Amen, by prayer, it opened of its own accord, amen, and before they got done, I mean, it still had the blow dirt torch turned on. Hey, they were still burning them out, and praise God. And Peter knocked on the door, and God had already unlocked the jailhouse door and got Peter out. Amen. I'm going to talk about how to move mountains tonight. Amen. God's way of moving mountains is burn them up. Praise God. How do you move mountains? You can move any mountain that's before you, praise God, by prayer. Hallelujah. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Amen. Mark Sims, just a month and a half ago or so, amen, shot himself in the side of the head with a 410-gauge shotgun at close range. Amen. And everybody here tonight knows that anybody that gets shot in the head close range with a 410-gauge shotgun is good as dead. And the whole hospital knew it. Amen. And I talked to the folks the day before. Amen. And they said it's just... one of the brethren told me, says, just moment by moment, Brother Collins. I talked to the nurse on the floor the next day, and she said, I'm not at liberty to tell you what his condition is since you're not one of the family. I said, I steered her, you know, into it, and I asked her the question in such a way that she could answer me without telling me too much. I said, yesterday, they said it was just moment by moment, and said, it's the same today. So yesterday, they said he could go at any time, and she said, same today, it hasn't changed. So she told me what I needed to know. Amen. But what the doctors didn't know, and what the nurses didn't know, that about 300 saints from the Spirit of Holiness churches would invade that hospital, amen, and turn on that blowtorch of effectual fervent prayer. Amen. Shot in the right side of the head with a 410-gauge shotgun with shot still in his head. Amen. And part of his skull shot away and part of his brain damaged. They didn't know if he lived, if he'd ever be able to walk, talk, or anything else. Amen. But what they didn't know was the people of God. Amen. Under the leadership of his uncle, W.D. King, praise God. Amen. Was going to turn on the blowtorch. Whoo, hallelujah. Amen. He gave me the report that he could go any time, and everybody knew it, and it didn't look good. Amen. And I've seen it happen before. Amen. They didn't make it because there was too many bridges to cross. Too many rivers that seemed uncrossable. Too many mountains they couldn't tunnel through. But God could. Hallelujah. And they took it to God. Hallelujah. Amen. In just a few days, he took a turn for the better. In just a few days, he opened his eyes. In just a few days, he recognized everybody. In just a few days, he talked. He told them what his name was. He counted their fingers. Amen. In just a few days, praise God, he announced that he's called to preach. Praise God. In just a few days, hallelujah, the Lord brought him out. Hey, you got any impossibles tonight? Let's set the mountain on fire. How will we do it? Praise God. By the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man. Amen. Brother Kevin was preaching about Paul and Silas in jail. Hallelujah. And they was in pretty bad shape. They had been beaten until their backs was lacerated, and they were in great pain. Here they are, their legs and arms are in stocks, and it's midnight, but they're so deep in the dungeon that you can't tell night from day anyhow. Amen. And the Bible said at midnight, praise God, they sang praises to God. At midnight, they turned the blowtorch on. Hallelujah. At midnight, glory to God, Paul and Silas prayed through. You know what you do when you pray through? You begin to thank God. You begin to praise God. Because when you really pray through and you can't pray no more, amen, the praise starts rolling. Hallelujah. They had already prayed through. By midnight, they had prayed clear through, and they was praising God. Hallelujah. Amen. And the blowtorch, praise God, got into the fire. Way down in the lower parts of the earth. Amen. And a great earthquake shook the place. Amen. Just enough to shake the stocks off and shake the bars off a jailhouse. Ew! How did Paul and Silas get out of jail? Amen. They burnt the jailhouse down in prayer and praise. Hallelujah. Amen. Hey, prayer and praise did the job, and God shook a jailhouse down. Hallelujah. Amen. Brother used to come stand behind this pulpit, amen, testify, told about how that they thought when they got saved, amen, everybody liked them, and they got saved and had such a revival in Cincinnati, amen, that they threw them all in jail. Arrested them and put them in jail in Cincinnati for disturbing the peace and having such a revival. Praise God. Pretty soon they turned the blowtorch on, though. Amen. They got to praying in the jailhouse. Hallelujah. They had such a prayer meeting and such a revival in the Cincinnati jail that they was glad to turn them loose. Hallelujah. Before it was all over. Praise God. Ooh, hallelujah. Amen. They told an old brother out in Oklahoma City. Amen. Him and L.D. Moore was in jail in court the same day. Amen. For preaching on the streets. Amen. And they asked him, said, have you got a lawyer? And he said, yeah. He said, I got a lawyer. He said, is he a good one? He said, he's the best. Amen. They didn't know that he meant Jesus. He was going to defend himself in court. Amen. Hallelujah. His pattern was that he would preach on the streets. They would arrest him before dark. He would eat supper in jail and spend the night in the jailhouse. They would let him out in the morning, and he'd go back and preach on the streets. Amen. And they would arrest him before dark. And he would eat supper in the jailhouse and sleep all night in the jailhouse. And he had a pretty good thing going. Amen. Didn't cost him nothing. Praise God. He had a bed to sleep in. Amen. Hallelujah. But now they've got Brother Foster before the judge in court. And the judge said, he said, it's either 3 years in jail, Mr. Foster, amen, or, I forget the other alternative, leave town, quit preaching on the streets, amen. And Brother Foster said, judge, he said, God called me to preach on the streets and in the prison. And he said, I'll give you the choice where I go the next 3 years. Praise God. So the judge sent Brother Foster to prison. Amen. But they didn't know what a flame he could turn on. Praise God. He wasn't in a few months. He'd had such a revival, won so many people to God, and stirred up such a commotion in the prison. He had the guards' nerves about to break. Amen. And everything else. Amen. And they said, if you just sign this thing, admitting your guilt, we'll turn you loose. No, sir, I ain't signing nothing. Amen. I wasn't guilty of anything when I came in here, and I'm not signing anything. And pretty soon they saw he wasn't going to sign that he was guilty. He wasn't going to let them off easy. Amen. And after a while, he turned that blowtorch on so good, amen, that they was begging him to leave. He was too hot to handle. Hallelujah. If tonight you got any mountains you can't tunnel through, we need to learn once again as Christians what it means to pray through. There's some of you we may have to team up on. Amen. And say, get ready. Praise God. Something's going to bend or break one or the other. Amen. God's going to move. Hallelujah. Hey, the saints need to learn the value of prayer one more time. That the effectual, fervent. Notice that word, fervent. Fervent prayer. Same thing that's going to melt this old world one of these days. Fervent heat. Hey, we can turn it on tonight. Amen. And watch your mountains melt away. Watch your rivers dry up. Hallelujah. Because God answers prayer. Hallelujah. In December 1999, God still, amen, answers prayer. Hey, whose prayer? The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man or woman. Praise God. Ooh, glory to God. Amen. Brother Virgil Waterman used to tell about that sister that God showed her that he's going to save her husband. Amen. One day, her husband got real sick and wound up in the hospital. And finally, at last, the family gathered around the doctor, pronounced him dead. She wanted some time with him. Amen. So they left her alone with her husband. She got down on her knees and began to pray. She prayed 1 hour. They thought she was distraught and went in and tried to get her to leave, but she refused to leave. Oh, God, you told me years ago that you're going to save my husband. And now, Lord, they say he's dead. She prayed 2 hours, three, four, five. Amen. After repeated efforts to get her to leave the room, they finally just left her. Amen. Till she got prayed out. She prayed 9 hours, 10 hours. The 11th hour of that woman prayed and sought God. Hallelujah. She burned a hole through the valley of the shadow of death. Praise God. And the Spirit came back into that man. Amen. He sat up in bed and said, I'm hungry. Praise God. He left the hospital the next day. On Sunday, he got saved. Praise God. The next Sunday, he announced the call to preach the gospel. And Brother Virgil Waterman said, the last I heard, he was a holiness preacher. Because a woman wouldn't give up. Praise God. We need to learn the value of persistent prayer. Hallelujah. The effectual prayer. What is the effectual prayer? That's the one that grabs a hold of the altar with both hands and won't turn loose. Amen. Until the job's done. That's the one, praise God, that stays at it until heaven comes down and glory fills their soul. Amen. God answers prayer in the morning. God answers prayer in the evening. God answers prayer at noon, and Jesus is coming soon. Confess your faults. If you've wronged somebody, if you've talked about somebody, if you've, amen, done evil to somebody, you need to confess your faults. Anything that you've sinned privately, you ain't got no business telling that to everybody. Tell it to God. Don't come to me and tell me about all your secret faults. I'm not a Catholic priest. I don't want to hear it. Praise God. Amen. Don't get up in church and have a testimony meeting, confess all your secret faults and failures and all your past sins. Amen. I don't want to hear that neither. But if you've wronged somebody, confess to them. Ask them to forgive you. Amen. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you might be healed, the effectual and the fervent. Fervent prayer. Amen. Nowadays, the average run-of-the-mill church don't know what fervent prayer is. They write them down on a piece of paper and read them off. Amen. I'm talking about the kind of prayer that's so hot they'd set the paper on fire. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm talking about the kind of prayer that's so hot. Amen. It's like Jack Coe when his sister was dying in the hospital in Los Angeles, California. Amen. He asked for emergency leave for the Army. Amen. The Army flew him in to Los Angeles and he got a taxi to the hospital. Amen. And Jack Coe asked the taxi driver, said, you care if I pray? He said, no, go ahead. But he didn't know how Jack Coe was going to pray. Amen. He got down on his knees in the back end of that taxi and he cried out to God to the top of his voice. Amen. By the time the taxi driver rolled in the hospital, amen, he said, I never seen nobody like you in my life. And he said, you never seen anybody desperate before God. Praise God. Amen. But he turned on the heat. Praise God. Got out of the taxi and walked in the hospital. Amen. Said, somebody met him coming down the corridor. Said, your sister's taking a turn for the better. She's going to be all right. Praise God. Why? Oh, Jack turned the fire on. Amen. Backseat of that taxi. Hallelujah. And God answered prayer. Amen. God still answers prayer. Amen. I mean, if he'll answer prayer for people that don't even know anything about the Holy Ghost hardly, amen, he'll answer prayer for you. Acts of the Apostles tells about a fellow over here. He said, a certain Jew named Apollos, born in Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord and being fervent in spirit. Hey, he didn't even know what we know. He didn't have the light we got. He didn't have the baptism of the Holy Ghost like we got. But he was red hot without the Holy Ghost. Amen. Some people's got no more fire without the Holy Ghost than they had when they finally got the Holy Ghost and sat down and quit. Because they thought the Holy Ghost was a stopping place. It's not a stopping place. It's a starting place. When you get the Holy Ghost, you just blasted off the launch pad. Amen. Oh, glory to God. It's time to go into orbit then. You don't go settle back down and turn the heat off. You turn it on. Amen. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in the Spirit, spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. What was he doing? He was getting his fire from John. John was filled with the Holy Ghost from his mother's womb. Amen. He had caught some flame and some fervency from his master John. John the Baptist. Amen. But they saw that this Acts of the Apostles Baptist, amen, Apollos, needed more of God. Amen. And so he began to speak bold in the synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them and expounded him the way of God more perfectly. Brother, when this eloquent man, already fervent in the Spirit, got the baptism of the Holy Ghost, he ranks high in the eyes of the people. Amen. The carnal people in the church, one of them said, I'm of Paul. Another said, I'm of Cephas. Another said, I'm of Apollos. Amen. And I mean, he was ranking right up there with Peter and Paul when he caught on fire with God, for God. That's what the average run-of-the-mill preacher needs to do. He needs to catch on fire. Amen. And then the people will come to watch him burn fire. That's how you get to the boiling point. That word fervent, generally used, means to the boiling point. Ooh, hallelujah. You know what water does when you boil it, don't you? It makes steam. 1 gallon of water will make 2 million gallons of steam. And that steam has power. Amen. The first steam engine was called the Tom Thumb. And the man that was firing the stoking the fire in the Tom Thumb didn't like what the noise escape valve was making. And so he sat down on it. Amen. Keep from making that noise that blew up the engine. Amen. Hey, praise God, you turn the heat up far enough. Glory to God, it's not only going to blow the whistle, it's going to move the train. Hallelujah. Hey, amen, fervent in spirit, that's to the boiling point. Before you can be fervent in the spirit, you need some fire. Well, John the Baptist had the message for that too. He said, there's one coming after me whose shoes I'm not worthy to unloose. One place it says bear. Praise God. I'm not worthy. One translation said, I'm not worthy to tie his shoelaces. Amen. Said, I need to baptize you with water under repentance, but he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with what?
Fire.
Fire. Say it loud.
Fire.
Hallelujah. We need to get some fire in our prayers. Praise God. You get some fire in your prayers, you can turn a hospital into a healing place. Hallelujah. You get some fire in your prayers, you can move mountains. You get some fire in your prayers, you can move the train if you please. Amen. You get some fire in your prayers. Amen. You're having trouble with trees dying and falling. And they drill down because they notice smoke coming out of the roots of the trees. Amen. They drilled down and found out that the underneath the trees was a stash of moss that had been packed there for years, peat moss. Amen. It had caught on fire. And underneath the surface, the fire in that peat moss was killing the trees on the ground 10 feet above. Amen. Hey, if you catch on fire under the surface, it's going to make a difference on the surface. So if you catch on fire under the surface, it's going to make a difference on the surface. Amen. Jesus said, you'll say this sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the roots. Amen. How do I do that, Brother Colin? Build a fire under it. Hallelujah. Let it burn the taproot. Hallelujah. Pretty soon the tree will fall of its own accord. Be thou plucked up by the roots. Amen. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Hallelujah. The Bible has a lot to say about this thing called fervent. He said, not slothful in business, but fervent in the spirit, serving the Lord. Every Christian needs a fervent spirit. Amen. With more fervent spirits, praise God, and less dead heads, hallelujah, you'll have a better church. Come on. Praise God. How to have a fervent spirit? Learn the way of God more perfectly, like Apollos did. Yeah. Ooh, strike fire. Hallelujah. Amen. He said, have fervent charity among yourselves. Praise God. One place even spoke, not by his coming only, but by the consolation wherewith he was comforting you when he told us your earnest desire, your mourning, your fervent mind toward me. 2 Corinthians 7:7. Amen. So that I rejoice the more. Hallelujah. Hey, they got down to business praying for Paul. And Paul was going to have it better in the ministry because the people got down to business praying for him. Well, they drug around and let Herod cut James' head off with a sword. And he saw he had gained favor of the Jews, and he intended after Easter to kill Peter too. And them saints said, we can't have this. He's killing our best men. And they turned on the fire. Hallelujah. You know who got killed? It wasn't Peter. It was those soldiers that guarded him with their life. They examined them, put them to death. Because they let Peter loose, they thought. Amen. Sundar Singh, in one of the villages he preached in after he'd crossed the Himalayas, they were so anti-Christian that they threw him in a well with a lid on it and a lock. Amen. And Sundar Singh prayed through the night. And in the night, the lid on the well open and let Sundar Singh out. Amen. That Indian saint that wore a yellow robe and crossed the Himalayas in freezing temperature barefooted to preach the gospel on the other side. Amen. They throwed him in the dungeon, but in the night somebody opened the lid of the dungeon, the cistern, and turned Sundar Singh loose. Amen. The townspeople found that he was gone. The next day he had escaped. The authorities found the escape. Who turned him loose? The only one that had a key to the lid on that dungeon was the mayor of the town. Amen. But there's a whole bunch of angels know how to make keys. The mayor of the town got the blame for it. Amen. They always suspected that he got tender-hearted and turned Sundar Singh loose. Amen. But I want you to know, angels can open doors. They got a key to every door. Hallelujah. They're very modest. They don't appear for very long, just a split second. The reason they don't is because they don't take the glory that belongs to Christ. And so they stay hid out. They stay in the background. But once in a while, God will send one. March the 30th, a year ago, Todd Smith was going to be operated on in the hospital, Mercy South here. He was scheduled for 12 o'clock. We took Charles and Billy Joe Valentine by there about 8 o'clock in the morning to see him. But about 6 that morning, an angel with a pale green robe on. I saw in one of the dictionaries that jasper is a beautiful sea green. So I said he had a jasper robe on. He said, "I will deliver thee." I knew he'd answer prayer, but even angels have got to agree with the Bible. And so I punched in the program in the Bible. Amen. It spit me out 5 good promises. "I will deliver thee." I copied them all off and then run them off on the mimeograph machine. Amen. And signed my name at the bottom, given to me, L.L. Collins, for Todd Smith, March the 30th at 6 o'clock. I took him several copies down with my name signed to him. Now, when the prophet signs his name, that puts you way out on a limb, brother. What if it don't happen? When the prophet gives you a piece of paper with his name signed to it, so the angel Lord spoke, what if it don't happen? Then you become a false prophet. But if you know that you know that you know, you don't have to worry. Amen. Hallelujah. I gave Todd his copy. Amen. I have but one regret. His grandpa was standing there and his Uncle Bert on the way to work and come by to see Todd before he's operated on. And I wish I'd have had them to sign it too as witnesses. Amen. Bert's not saved, and if his grandpa's anything, he'd probably be Church of Christ. And I wanted their names on there. But I failed to get it. Amen. Brother Vern, he don't hardly know sometimes whether he believes fully in Pentecost or not. Amen. But he was desperate. He wanted his copy. Amen. So I gave him his copy. Meanwhile, Brother Moore called, praise God, and said, "What's that boy think he's going to do? Outstrip us and beat us to heaven?" Said, "He ain't going to die." Amen. Said, "He's going to live." Hallelujah. Praise God. Listen, folks. When people of God praise, God begins to talk. If he has to, he'll have an angel to make one of those rare appearances and say just a few words, "I will deliver thee." About 3 or 4 o'clock in the afternoon, my daughter called me on the phone. My wife ran the phone down the field where I was at working. I wasn't at the hospital even when he was operated on. My daughter said, "Dad, They just took a watermelon-sized tumor out of Todd off his main aorta. They had to break a rib, another rib, to get it out. And said the doctor said he's 99% sure it's cancer. And he said, they're devastated, Dad. Why aren't you down here? Because I already had the word from the Lord. Amen. You got any mouth?